Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is MC Money, joined by Houts, the, I don't even know what Houts is anymore, and Sutton, the creepy soccer dad. And we are first place in the AFC East. Let that sink in. The Miami Dolphins are first place in the AFC East. And Houts and Sutton, what a dramatic game that was on Sunday. I had to do the family thing. I had to be at Six Flags with the family, and I wasn't going to, you know, fight. I was picking my battles, and I watched on my phone. And I was in my car when Young Ho for the Chargers. What a Young Ho he is!
What a great game,
Young Ho,
isn't it? When he was lining up for the field, and I'm like, and when Phillip Rivers was driving down the field, I said, "Oh God, you know, this is not going to end." I was waiting for it to end like last year, where Kiko picks him off. And the game is over. That never happened. He was just destroying the Dolphins defense, shredding them to pieces. And we'll talk more about the secondary in a little bit and what Adam Gase thought about it and the linebackers, Mike Cole and Jace Allen, and all that jazz. But, you know, as I'm watching that final drive, boys, I'm just thinking this game is done. Dolphins are going to lose. And then I'm watching the field goal target line. I'm calculating the field goal in my head. All right, this would be a 57-yarder. This would be a 52-yarder. This would be a 45-yarder. And then finally he gets to the point, 10 seconds left. 12 seconds left. Adam Gase calls a timeout with 10 seconds left. I know some people are upset about that. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. And then he lines up. And all I'm thinking of was the Broncos game where he kicked it low and they blocked it. And I'm just praying that happens. He kicks it and it's wide right. And I screamed so loud. And again, this was in the car. We weren't in the park anymore. We were at McDonald's while my wife was feeding our 2-week-old. And I know that's a little too much, but it is what it is. We were sitting in my car at McDonald's in the parking lot and watching the airplanes come in. We just dropped my sister-in-law off at the airport, which is why I had to do the family thing that day. She was going back to Florida. And I screamed. I screamed. I pumped my fist. I slammed my steering wheel. My 3-year-old daughter goes to me, "Daddy, what's wrong? Did you hurt yourself?" And I go, no, the Dolphins won. This is how we're going to celebrate. And my wife is just looking at me. My 2-week-old is now crying his head off. And people in the McDonald's parking lot are just looking at me, and I did not give two craps what anyone thought, because the Dolphins won. And for you two, I know how you were a little, you know, tapped out with the alcohol probably in the first quarter there. But for you two, you know, was that like, the first game of the season ending like that?
You want me to go first? I'll go first.
Yeah, you go first.
All right, I'll go first. Well, I worked. I got home, grabbed a beer, went and take a shower. You know how that goes. And I just went down, kept drinking, watched the Dolphins play up and down throughout the game. I'm sure Sutton, you both can attest that. Well, you were at Six Flags. So you weren't very drunk, but I was getting there. And, I mean, we're all on Twitter. We're all the good, the bad. I mean, throughout the game, though, you just had to believe that the Dolphins were going to pull it off. We saw it happen last year. You just kind of have that little bit of hope that Adam Gase, it's a whole different team that we have now. I mean, there were years ago where we'd be up big, or you just kind of felt like Miami was going to find a way to lose, and it just seems different now with Adam Gase. I just kind of felt that in my heart that one way or the other we're going to pull it off. I ran up to my man cave, grabbed that Cody Parkey picture that I took for my wife because he's played for the Eagles and we have a signed picture. I'm sitting there cradling
it. That Cody Parker picture was classic.
Yeah, I'm sitting there cradling it. I'm in front of the TV just screaming. I had some friends come over. They could actually hear me out in the street just yelling. I was probably a little pissed during the game, but anyway, Cody Parkey, he nailed that field goal, and then Young Ho shanked it, and, I mean, I was ecstatic. I was just happy that Dolphins football was back, and to pull out that win, that was a great feeling. What about you, Sutton?
I forget what you tweeted, Houts. It was something like, Young Ho missed a field goal. That was hilarious. But, actually, I wanted to give it a shout-out to us real quick. Do you remember the predictions that we made for last week and what the score was going to turn out to be? And
I was
waiting for you to
talk about that.
Okay, well, I'll throw it out there. I mean, Houts predicted the Parkey field goal. I mean, he said it was going to be a walk-off, but, I mean, it was a game winner. And 54-yarders just – yeah, we can't all be perfect like MC Money. But, you know, the 54-yard field goal, that was – ironically enough, I believe the same distance that Andrew Franks had against Buffalo. So it was kind
Andrew
of a
Franks
nice
was actually Andrew Franks was actually 55.
55. Okay, so I stand corrected. But it was a nice kind of passing of the torch, so to speak, to say, you know, that's – I don't know if Andrew Franks makes all four of those kicks on Sunday. But, that remains to be seen. But – you know, I predicted 2019, Matt. You predicted 21-17. So, I mean, we were within just points. And so I wanted to give props to us, man. We know our stuff.
Yeah. Listen, all of our in-depth study and analysis of the games and the Dolphins just proves that we're good. And we're going to predict the score of the Jets game, and we're going to be close. And that's just what it's going to be. And so deal with it. And yes, I do agree with you, Sutton, that I don't think Andrew Franks makes those field goals. And I can say that now because his mother unfollowed me on Twitter yesterday. And so now I could talk, and I could talk whatever I want about Andrew Franks. Okay? And no, he does not make those. And yes, no, I do respect Franks, and he has not gotten a job, I don't believe, unless I missed that he got signed somewhere. But, you know, he was inconsistent, and we all loved him for making that field goal in Buffalo. We were all kind of a little bummed that he was gone because that was one of our last memories of him. But Cody Parkey came in and said, listen, just like that gift that I tweeted out a few times with Jay Cutler, look at me. I'm the captain now. And Cody Parkey,
that 54-yarder, that could have been good from 60. From the angle that I saw, man, it had tremendous power on it.
He absolutely killed it.
I mean, that's a great confidence booster going forward, that if we need a long kick in the clutch – we know we've seen it before, and we saw it in the first game that he played with us. So it's a good, you know, it was a good barometer test there with that kick.
Absolutely correct. And let's hope that we don't have any more heart attacks like that. But the reality is we probably will, especially with this defense, which I said, you know, we will get into that a little more and see what Adam Gase has to say about that. The cool thing about Cody Parkey, grew up as a Dolphins fan, and he would watch, you know, kickers like Uman Shaman or, you know, Stojanovic. And Cody Parkey actually said yes, and he grew up watching Olindo Mare. And this is what Cody Parkey said. He said, I grew up watching Olindo Mare and all of those guys, watching those guys kick. I always thought it would be pretty cool to do so, to kick for the Miami Dolphins, and now he's here. So he said it's awesome. And Cody Parkey is a perfect 6-for-6 now, from 50 yards and beyond. Before that, obviously 5-for-5. And as soon as they put that graphic up on the screen, I'm like, oh my God, here's the kiss of death. We always see it happen, right? The graphic comes up on the screen. This guy hasn't thrown an interception in 287 pass attempts. The next play is an interception. So I'm like, all right, there's the kiss of death right there. And, you know, Cody Parkey is from Jupiter, Florida. And Cody Parkey said it didn't sink in yet after the game. Cody Parkey would go to a few Dolphins game a year. And he was glued to the TV, he said, for all the Dolphins games as he was growing up. And it's just a really, really cool story. And Adam Gase said that Parkey was one of the primary targets on the waiver wire that they had targeted, one of their highest priorities when Cody Parkey was released. And listen, Young Ho has lost two games for the Chargers. Cody Parkey has won one for the Miami Dolphins. So when people talk about kickers, they underestimate them a bit. The Buccaneers got a lot of crap for picking Aguayo in the second round. They got a lot of crap because of the way they did it. They traded up and then picked him. And his numbers were impressive at Florida State. But when you looked beyond the actual numbers, when you looked beyond the surface, you would have seen that his deep ball range wasn't that great. It was above average. You know, it was good, but it wasn't great. So I think they got a lot of flack for that. And, of course, I mean, who picks a kicker in the second round? Sebastian Janikowski got flack in the first round, but that's very, very rare, and Aguayo's not even in the NFL anymore. So kickers do matter. Kickers are people too, just like punters. And we saw a few mishaps from the punters, the new punter, Matt Hack, on Sunday, but hopefully he learns from that and moves on. All right, but the big story is Lauren Simmons went AWOL from the team. On Saturday night, the Dolphins filed a missing persons report. They last saw him around 12:45 at the bed check. He did not show up for the team meeting at 5:45. They did a bed check at nighttime. He was not there, and then all panic ensued. Here is Adam Gase this week and after the game on everything that he said regarding Lauren Simmons. It's about 2 minutes long, but this is over the course of several days. You can kind of get a feel for just how pissed off Adam Gase is.
I'm not saying anything right now. I need to kind of figure some things out first before I talk about this.
I haven't gotten through step one yet, so kind of got in a little late last night, so I'm kind of dealing with the guys that played.
Have you talked to him, or
no.
Is he in the building?
No idea.
I know you said you didn't have an update on Simmons, but how was that going to a game with just a handful of linebackers at your disposal?
We've had a lot worse situations in other positions before, so we're used to adjusting. It's not a big deal for us.
Adam, I know you're not in position or willing at this point to talk about the specifics with Simmons. Can you just say from a general standpoint, are you willing to say if you expect him to be on the team going forward, is that something you're willing to say at this point? Or?
No, I have nothing to add for what I have right now. I'm really just gathering a lot of information, and you know, I got a few other things I got to deal with the guys that played yesterday.
Adam, why did Lawrence Simmons go away?
That's one of those.
I'm sorry.
Everything dealing with that, we're just going to keep in house. We've handled it the way we feel like we needed to handle it. And, you know, really, I don't have anything to add to that.
Will he have a chance to come back to the team?
It's going to be something I'm going to keep in house, and I'll decide on that later.
You established a certain culture over the last 2 years, and it applies to everybody. When guys step outside the bounds of that culture, can they be forgiven, or is it you've been on your own, you're not part of us?
I think every situation is different, and I would say that you can be forgiven. The right steps are taken.
All right, so there it is from Adam Gase, the man himself. Obviously very disappointed with Lauren Simmons there, as he certainly should be. Lauren Simmons knew the Dolphins were looking for him at the airport when he was approached by police. He still decided to board the plane anyways. And Adam Gase has left the door open for him as of this afternoon. And it is expected that Lauren Simmons will remain with the Dolphins. I mean, his salary basically dictates it. They will try to recoup some of that guaranteed money. But Houts, I know you had some strong feelings about this on Twitter over the past few days. And Sutton will get your opinion on as well. But for you, Houts, I mean, what does this say for you for Timmons? Do you forgive Timmons? Can you forgive Timmons? Do you want Timmons back? Or do you want the Dolphins to just move on from him?
Yeah, what a bizarre situation before the first game. I mean, we waited a week, the whole hurricane, you know, postponing things, and then they fly out there early, and you think the season's finally going to start without any hiccups, and then something like this happens the day prior. I mean, what a bizarre situation. I still think there's a lot of details to gather, and I don't know if we'll ever know the full story, but to have a guy that you signed in the offseason to a relatively big contract, a guy that you expected to come in and help fill that void of that one of the NFL's lowly run defenses, and to be a leader. And, I mean, to have him just bail on the team a night before your first game, I mean, that's huge. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I mean, the linebacking core was something that we really had to upgrade this offseason. We tried to do so with McMillan and as with Timmons, and then he ends up bailing on the team. So, I mean, it's just a crazy situation. Whether or not I forgive him, I guess I'd have to know the full details. And ultimately, I'd let Adam Gase decide that. I mean, we all know Lawrence Timothy's a hell of a ball player, great against the run, decent against the pass. I mean, he's definitely going to be missed in there. But to say whether or not I can forgive him, I think it sucks that he bailed on the team. And I think it's easier as me for a fan, a guy that has yet to play a regular season game, for me to say, okay, it's okay to see him go. It's okay if this was his – if he never does suit up for the Dolphins. I mean, I'm okay with that because, again, he hasn't played, but it's a disappointment. I think us as fans, you really want to see what Timmons could do, and I just hope for his sake that he gets his thing straight and can hopefully continue in the NFL.
Yeah, Houts touched on most everything. The only other thing I'll contribute was the reason it was so bizarre was Timmons has started like 100 consecutive games, 100-some plus, like 104 or something like that, games in a row, and goes AWOL. This is not some like undrafted free agent who gets his first shot and he shits his pants and runs away. I mean, this is not the case. This is an established vet. So it was a very confusing pregame. You know, we're in our La La Land playing a 4 o'clock game. So most of us probably had more beers pregame than we're used to having. And then all of a sudden you see this news flash up about Lawrence Timmons going AWOL. And, you know, as Hout said, you know, more details are going to unfold and it will give us more understanding of what happened. So we'll trust the organization and Gase and the players and everybody to just make the right choice and going forward from this. But yeah, just very strange, but you know, it preempted us to go get Stephon Anthony. And I know we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But we're going to see a retooled linebacker unit. We're going to see what we have, you know.
So in Lawrence Timmons' place was Chase Allen. And we're going to talk about Chase Allen in just a second here. And Chase Allen played decent. I mean, he didn't play lights out. You saw the first play of the game where he jumped into the backfield and stopped Melvin Gordon for a loss. And Mike Hall was also in there as well. But Mike Hall was expected to play whether or not Lawrence Timmons was there or not. The only difference was now Mike Hall was playing the entire game, just about. And on the nickel packages, Hall was out there when Timmons should have been out there with Alonzo. And Hall, according to Pro Football Focus and Pro Football Focus of Miami, Hall didn't have a totally great game despite leading the team in tackles. So Mike Hall, according to Pro Football Focus, he played 58 snaps and was picked apart by Phillip Rivers, and this is their words, all day in coverage, allowing all 9 targets to be caught for 95 yards. The targets, receptions, and yards allowed were all the most for any linebacker in coverage for week 2. Chase Allen, on the flip side, drew the start and had the third highest grade for any Dolphins player in week 2 at 81.3, but he only played 13 snaps on the afternoon, had 2 stops in run defense, and was not targeted in the passing game at all. So Chase Allen, his impact was minimal, and his liability was minimal. Hull was the guy that was out there the longest, and you saw the results there. Now, there was some talk on Twitter that this wasn't totally accurate in terms of how they chart receptions and targets and all of that, you know, jazz. And there was some back and forth there between some well-respected people on Twitter, including PFF themselves. And, you know, PFF is an exact science. We do have a partnership with them. We're going to use them throughout the season, but we'll also try to look beyond that as well. And one way we're going to look beyond that is just by bringing in the man himself, Adam Gase. And no, we don't have a live interview with him right now on the phone. That would have been nice. But I will pull in his speech from the press conference on Mike Hall and how he felt he did. Take a listen.
I mean, he's just what he's done since really we got here, and every time we put him in the game, he knows how to play football. He has a knack for finding the ball, and you know, he anticipates probably better than a lot of guys. You know, I think he can kind of see things different. You know, anytime anybody tries to run anything that just seems like a misdirection play, he never falls for it. He's always going the way the ball carrier's going, and he's one step ahead of most guys when it comes to just anticipating run plays or pass plays.
So there it is from Adam Gase himself. And Sutton, I believe you watched some film on Hall and the Dolphins defense as a whole from the game on Sunday. What did you see from Hall? From me, what I saw a guy attacking the play, really out there everywhere that he could possibly be. What was interesting, though, on WQAM the day after, Channing Crowder was saying it was very obvious as a former linebacker to see that Mike Hall and Kiko Alonso were not on the same page. He said that when you have two linebackers playing side by side, they should be moving in the same direction. He said they were moving in the opposite directions. They weren't on the same page with each other. Hopefully that gets worked out as we move forward because, listen, Hull is going to be the middle linebacker as we move throughout the season unless the Dolphins decide to make a change. They brought in Stephon Anthony, who may or may not play in nickel situations. once Timmons comes back, he'll probably be the nickel guy. But Sutton, from what you saw at the game on Sunday, from looking at the All-22, what was your reaction on Mike Hull?
Well, like you mentioned earlier, MC Money, some of the chatter on Twitter, one of those was C.K. Parrott, Chris Kaufman, who's a former Dolphins writer. He had mentioned, you know, the way that some of this stuff is put into data for PFF is it's a little bit flawed because some plays are by design going to pick apart that person. And let me give you an example. If anybody has heard the term the rub route, you know, it's like a glorified, it's a moving screen in basketball that's legal. So you run a slant to the outside to kind of quote unquote pick the defender for the Z receiver who's coming on an inside slant, and that creates or an inside drag, and that's where that separation gets created because the teammate's wide receiver they're helping pick the defender. So some plays are by design going to obviously affect somebody. And Mike Hull found himself in a couple of those situations, especially out of the backfield last week against the Chargers. Now, granted, there's some work to do, and we know it. We know it. You know, we've lost McMillan. Timmons, we don't know what's going to happen with him. Meese, we lost him. Chase Allen, like you said, only played 13, 14 snaps. So we really need two high-functioning linebackers for this defense to work. And it remains to be seen if Mike Hull – now, granted, we did much better in run defense. I hope we have a chance to get to talk about that as we go forward with the show. But I have to give props to the run defense. I think that was a concern for some of us going into the season to see the run defense play as well as it did. And I think Mike Hull had something to do with that. So we have to give him the credit that he deserves for the run defense that was there. There's probably some room to make some improvements on pass defense. But what did you think, Alex?
We're actually going to skip house on this one because we want to make sure we cover all of our topics tonight before we have to go off the air. So let's jump over to Chase Allen. And like I just mentioned, Chase Allen, 13 snaps, had the third highest grade according to PFF. Didn't get many opportunities to be a liability in the game, but here's what Adam Gase
said. I thought he did a great job. I love the fact that first play of defense, Matt brings everybody, which I thought was aggressive, which I love that. And now he gets in on that first play and made another nice play just anticipating what was going on up front and shot the sideline, knocked it out of bounds. And you know, whoever we got here, we'll get guys better, and we'll feel good about it entering Sunday.
All right, so how's for you, Chase Allen, in the limited time that he was on the field? What did you see from him? Is he someone that you think can play long-term here in the Dolphins' defense? Or do you think as an undrafted guy, you know, teams will start picking up his tendencies, and the more and more he's on the field and the more tape they put on him out there, the less and less effective he's going to be?
Well, as you know, I'm definitely the undrafted free agent guru of the Insider.
Yes.
For me, though, I mean, throughout the preseason, Chase Allen was a guy that stood out. I mean, he was a guy that you constantly heard his name called. You weren't sure if it was because he was going up against those second or third stringers or what it was. And then to have a guy undrafted, 24 years old, just get thrown in there because of Timmons going AWOL, I mean, I don't think you could have asked him to play any better. I wish you could have seen more out of him. I mean, I think you said 13, 14 snaps. I mean, that's not really enough to say whether or not Chase Allen is going to make a career or name for himself in the NFL. But, I mean, I definitely saw promise. I definitely think what he did against the run was good. I'm not sure if he was tested in the pass game at all. But, I mean, Chase Allen, that's a guy that he could see more playing time as the season goes forward. And he's a guy that I'd like to see a little more of and get a better idea of what he's capable of doing.
Chase Allen was not targeted in the passing game at all. There was no targets directed his way. He was more on the field in obvious passing. Obvious run situations. And you know, the Dolphins really tried to limit his time on the field. We did mention stopping the run. The Dolphins were very effective stopping the run. They held Melvin Gordon to a season low, and we're only 2 weeks in, but still very impressive. 13 yards rushing, and the Dolphins always seem to bottle up the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers. When the Chargers came to Miami, when after Joel Philbin's father died and Kevin Coyle was the interim coach, and I was there for this game, they bottled up Brandon Oliver, and I forget who else was there that year for the Chargers. It always seems like they have the Chargers number. Obviously, last year the Chargers had a little more success against the Dolphins on the ground. But this year, the Dolphins were having none of it, which is very encouraging because last year we saw the Dolphins get absolutely gashed in the run game. Whether or not this is an improvement, it's only 1 week, so we don't know for sure if this is going to be a trend or if this is a fluke. But it's very encouraging to see Melvin Gordon, 9 attempts for 13 yards, averaged 1.4 yards per carry. Brandon Oliver, 3 attempts for 31 yards, change of pace, 44 total yards rushing by the Los Angeles Chargers. Here's what Adam Gase had to say about stopping the run.
I felt like we had, you know, very few missed tackles. I thought the entire defense did a good job playing off each other. You know, we had one that kind of got us for a longer run, but for the most part, you know, everybody was in the right gaps, playing fast, a lot of gang tackling, a lot of guys were on the ball, just collapsing everything. You know, it was really good to see.
So, and I know you had some good thoughts on stopping the run. You want to talk about this a little bit, so go on ahead.
Yeah, it was good to see Jordan Phillips. You know, Adam Gase more or less sung his praises in an Adam Gase sort of way, you know, did his job. And that's what I saw on tape was Jordan Phillips actually did his job. So I was kind of happy about that. I wasn't expecting that going into game one, nor did I expect him to leapfrog Godshaw either, but Godshaw, when he went in, had some pretty good reps there. So the defensive tackle rotation really stepped up, and Ndamukong Suh looked like his absolute dominant self. So glad that he is in there wreaking havoc in the interior for us. William Hayes came in and had some really good snaps. The defensive end had some good pass rushing hurries there, had a sack. Did well against the run. That's his forte. So really like how this defensive line is shaping up in terms of shutting down the run game. And it's going to help because that back seven is going to need all the help that it can get. So the defensive line can control the line of scrimmage like it did against the Los Angeles Chargers. And we're going to be in pretty good shape. But impressive to see the defensive tackles, the way they worked out. That was a blessing.
Speaking of the back seven there, Sutton, the Dolphins totally outmatched in the secondary and on the defensive side of the ball on that play. Phillip Rivers, 39 attempts, 31 completions, 331 yards, one touchdown, a longest pass of 24, quarterback rating of 110.6. Keenan Allen with 10 targets, 9 receptions for 100 yards. Hunter Henry, of course, the Dolphins are tight ends. You know, they can never seem to cover the tight ends. 80 yards for Hunter Henry. Melvin Gordon making some noise on the ground. Not on the ground, but, you know, in the air with catching the ball, 65 yards there. Tyrell Williams, 54 yards. Like I said, 331 yards total. That is a lot of passing yards, and the Dolphins need to shore that up. But Adam Gase didn't seem too concerned. Here's what he had to say about Phillip Rivers and the Miami Dolphins secondary.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. You know, Phillip, you know, these last, you know, big, you know, the Denver game and then our game, I mean, those are two of the better games that I've seen him play in the last couple of years. I mean, he was really on it. He did an outstanding job with getting the ball out. Really took our rush away just by the way that he was, you know, finding guys open quick and letting guys make plays in shorter intermediate areas. And, you know, we keep trying to get tighter and tighter in coverage, and it's, you know, he has playmakers, and it's tough. They're going to win some battles, and they're going to get open. We just got to keep trying to find ways to get our hands on guys and, you know, be as tight as we can, you know, early, you know, so that rush can get home and make him get off the first progression. But yesterday he was getting the ball out quick.
House, I know you did a lot of film work on the secondary because you are the cornerback guru of Insider Radio. So what did you see in terms of the secondary versus the Chargers? Is Adam Gase correct in his assessment, or is he just covering up his players and backing them publicly?
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit of wishful thinking. I think we've touched on it a couple times throughout this off season and all year, really. really that the secondary was going to be one of the bigger question marks for the Dolphins and could impact the way the season plays out. It didn't necessarily impact the way this game finished, but, I mean, to sit back there and see Philip Rivers, he pretty much just picked apart the Dolphins secondary. He did whatever he wanted, and, I mean, I was one to come out and say personally that I thought Xavier Howard might be the Dolphins' best cornerback, and our good folks over at PFF and PFF Miami, they said Xavier Howard was targeted a league high 13 times in week 2 and allowed 10 receptions for 87 yards. His overall grade was 46.8 and ranked 67th of all cornerbacks in week 2. So, I mean, Xavier Howard, he had a terrible day. Just overall, the entire secondary. I mean, I'm not sure if maybe it's because they were expecting Rashad Jones to drop down the box and kind of, you know, fill that void left behind by Timmons and kind of come down as an extra linebacker. But it just seemed like the entire secondary got picked apart. And Byron Maxwell, I mean, you touched on it, Altron Werner. He might be a starting cornerback sooner than later. I mean, you can see why the Dolphins, and we continuously hear this Richard Sherman trade rumors. I mean, you can see why Miami's definitely looking to improve that secondary, because if this is any indication of what this season entails, I mean, that's going to be one of the the Dolphins' Achilles heel moving forward.
Speaking of Byron Maxwell and Altron and Werner, here's what Adam Gase had to say between the two and why they decided to go with Byron Maxwell and whether or not the Dolphins are considering benching him moving forward.
Yeah, I don't think we, you know, he had a good week of practice. I think they both had a good week of practice, and, you know, Byron was a good matchup for us. You know, we felt like he matched up against those guys well. You know, we'd like him, you know, get his hands on those guys and try to grapple with them a little bit. We'll just keep working on kind of, you know, getting better at certain aspects of how we want to play defense, and that's part of the process of the season. And, you know, we'll keep making adjustments and trying to find what this group of guys will do best.
So there you have it on that. And people watching the game saw the Rashad Jones yelling at Byron Maxwell throughout. Byron Maxwell pulling in a grade, PFF grade of 36, which is not good. Xavier Howard pulling in a grade of 43, not good. Rashad Jones had an off game, which could have been attributed to Byron Maxwell, 44.6, Nate Allen, 52.1, all of them receiving poor grades in the secondary. Now, Cameron Wake had a pedestrian game, below average, 68.6. Ndamukong Suh had a very good game, an elite game, according to PFF, 90.5. Godshaw, 47.5, not good. Charles Harris, 49, not good at all. So if we look at the base defense, then you go to William Hayes, 81.1, which is good. Jordan Phillips, 69.1, not bad. Andre Branch, 50.0. And the nickel, Bobby McCain, 78.5, not terrible. That's average, according to PFF. We'll get into the Jets and what their offensive guys look like and how that lines up with the Dolphins' defense. But Dolphins, you know, need some work in the secondary, and we hope that as the season moves on, Matt Burke can help them get there. To our people on hold right now, we have two callers on hold. One guy's been on for 20 minutes. The other guy's been on for 12 minutes. We see you. We are not ready for your calls yet, but we will be within the next 10 minutes or so. Jumping on to the other side of the ball, Smokin' Jay Cutler making his Dolphins debut. Very impressive Dolphins debut. And some people will say that he didn't have a very impressive Dolphins debut, but he did. 33 attempts, 24 completions, 230 yards, only 2 sacks for a loss of 5 yards, 1 touchdown, a long completion of 31. Quarterback rating of 101.8. And Jay Cutler did not throw an interception. Jay Cutler took care of the football and took the shots when he needed to. And he let his guys make plays. Here's what Adam Gase had to say about Jay Cutler.
Jay did a good job. You know, he executed what we asked him to do. He's good in the run game. You know, threw the ball well. Made some great plays off schedule. Those guys are seem to, you know, they're learning each other. And, you know, he keeps everything calm. You know, he doesn't get too high, too low. I know he wished he had that one throw back to Jarvis in the red zone. You know, we were just a little bit off on that one. I know we were excited about having an opportunity to run that one. That was something that we've been working on. I think we had that up like in 2015, so I think that was the first time I got to call it. So, you know, we were close on that. That would have been a great one to have, but we still got points out of it. And I thought he did well, though. I mean, he he made some, you know, that throw that he had to Devontae was a really, that was a good play, you know, just on that scramble drill. And, you know, those guys do a good job when things start breaking down. You know, we're finding guys now.
So, and your thoughts of what you saw from Smoking Jay Cutler?
Leading into this week, I did not think that Jay Cutler would be like the 12th player that we would talk about tonight. I just did not see that scenario playing out, but that's exactly what happened. That's because he played efficient football, and it was kind of a breath of relief for most of us. For me included, I said this going into the season, that turnovers were going to be a huge emphasis for this team. And we saw this team, you know, take care of the ball. Jay Cutler, no interceptions, no fumbles. The team, no interceptions, no fumbles, nothing. So that was good to see from an efficiency standpoint. You did see one throw, Jay Cutler backpedaling off his back foot. One of those throws that when you see the throw from the camera angle that you have, you can't see what's going on downfield. So it just looks a little bit like, ugh, no, you didn't just make that throw. And then you look to see how the play develops down the field, and you're like, wow, that was a great throw. So just as we were excited for Parkey to make that 54-yard field goal, that throw was kind of an important throw for me to see him backpedaling, throwing off balance, and be able to pull off a throw like that. We're going to need clutch plays during this season at some point, whether it's on third down, fourth down, late in the season, on the road, in the elements, whatever it is. So all those types of hurdles that we come over, that's a confidence builder going forward, and that's those types of throws, that was a pleasure to see.
Now, Adam Gase did say that he felt he hindered Jay Cutler just a bit. So let's bring in Adam Gase in terms of how he thought he messed up the play calling here.
I thought the first drive was really, I called a wide receiver passing around in the first drive, Barry. Jesus.
I know.
But, you know, we just had those three and outs, and I didn't like, I felt a little off rhythm in that second quarter. I felt like I was holding our guys back, and in that third quarter, really put it on, you know, getting J.H.I. the ball, finding ways to let the receivers, you know, win one-on-one opportunities. You know, we didn't really get the opportunities we wanted with Julius, you know, because of what they were playing. And then letting Jay make some plays with his feet, you know, scrambling. And those guys really took over that game. You know, we kept it fairly simple, and they won their one-on-one matchups, and that really, really changed a lot of it for us.
So there you have it with the play calling there. Adam Gase always taking a lot of blame for the play calling. We saw it all throughout last year, him taking blame for the play calls. We'll see how that shakes out as he gets used to Jay Cutler and what they can get going there. Unfortunately, he had a chemistry with Ryan Tannehill as the season was going on there that would have really carried over into this year, but not so fast with the Tannehill injury and training camp. And now Jay Cutler coming back in. Gase did have one season with him, but it was kind of long ago, so they do need to get back on the same page and perfect with everything else. So, that said, last week, Houts and Sutton, and I think Sutton got disconnected here. Let's see. I'm just going to text him there. He did get disconnected. But last week, we talked about play action and how Jay Cutler thrived under play action. And Adam Gase realizes that, too. Adam Gase listens to Finsider Radio, because here's what he had to say about the play action plays and how he wants to incorporate more.
There's just it's a tougher protection probably to defend, because the way that the outside zone run game is, when a guy sticks his foot in the ground and goes vertical, you're closing down on the edge when you're really unblocked, and you make that play in the run game, great, but all of a sudden we're booting out or we're setting up on, and you're doing that, and now all of a sudden you're blocked, and there's nothing in the quarterback's face, and he's got a lot of time. And it's really, like, I understand the more I've been in this, why we saw Atlanta have the success they had last year. You know, Matt Ryan really took advantage of that, him and Julio, and
you know, seeing a lot of these teams that, you know, the old Denver teams, just kind of watching a lot of these types of play actions. I mean, like, it makes sense to me why it's worked.
Sounds good.
So there you have it. Last week, how was the stuff? Sorry about that. So last week, House and Son, we talked about play action and how Adam Gase needs to get Jay Cutler involved in more play action, and there you have it. Adam Gase coming out the other day, they get more play action involved. And so, you know, we go on the air here, we need to wait because the Dolphins brass and the coaches are listening to us, and that's really important to know. And I say that with all sarcasm, because they have better things to do than to listen to Finsider Radio on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But, but House, you know, something thinks it's funny.
That was funny.
It was pretty funny, yeah.
Then why weren't you laughing?
I was, but it was Sutton's laugh overpowered mine.
Okay, so how... When you talk about play action between Jay Ajayi, Kenny Stills, Jarvis Landry, all those guys, Jarvis Landry targeted a ton of times, 13 times or 15 times, I believe. When you talk about play action, how does that all work together with Ajayi, Parker, everyone else in the field there? How does that work? Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, this offense, it's based around what Jay Ajayi can do. He's probably our most dynamic playmaker. He's the guy that this team's looking to feed the ball to, and he really opens up that play action. We saw this past Sunday against the Chargers, I mean, Ajayi, he was feasting early on, and it would open up those play-action passes. Saw some of the Parkers, the touchdown, the Stills in the end zone. I mean, it forces the defense to bite and hesitate just that slight second, and then it opens up a slight window for an opportunity there. And I think nobody does it better than Cutler from what it seems like. I mean, okay, I can't say nobody, but Cutler looks like he's pretty damn good at it. It looks like it's a huge staple what this offense is going to become. And, I mean, I just love it. I mean, I think Joe Schad said, and I think our boy Topher brought it up in the chat, but he just said that the Dolphins, the way they want to run this offense is an Ajayi run, a Landry short completion, a deep shot to Parker, another Ajayi run, a deep shot to Parker. I mean, that's something Joe Schad said in one of his articles. And, I mean, that's what this offense is doing. I mean, you see when Parker's in single coverage on the outside, the Dolphins are taking a chance. They come back to Ajayi for a run. They're finding ways to get Landry the football, even if they aren't the smartest, as Gase said in the first quarter. So, I mean, it all comes back to Jay Ajayi and what he can do in the game, run game. And, I mean, those holes were opened up. The offensive line played better than I expected. And when you can run the ball the way they do, the way Jay Ajayi can, I mean, that opens up that play action for the guys on the outside, like Stills, Landry, and Parker. And that's where the Dolphins are going to thrive this season.
Jay Ajayi with an absolutely monster game, 28 attempts for 122 yards. 4.4 yards per carry, a long of 20 on the day. Now, Jay Ajayi on the offensive side of the ball, like I just said, he racked up 82 of his 122 total yards on the day after contact. That is impressive. We remember Lamar Miller, right? He got all his yards before contact. That dude just falls down as soon as someone touches him with a little finger. But Jay Ajayi just burst through the tackles. It was the most for any back in week two. He had 8 forced missed tackles. Also led all running backs, a category he led the league in with 58 in 2016. He was on the field for 64 of a possible 68 snaps, suggesting he is once again ready for his three-down role as the focal point of the offense. Let's talk about real quick Jarvis Landry and Bear here before we move on to the Jets. We can take these calls. He was targeted 15 times, with the which was the second most for week two. And his 13 receptions led the league. 62 of his 78 yards came after the catch, most for any wide receiver of the week. Landry led the league with 630 yards after the catch in 2016. So it looks like that is possibly something to keep an eye on this season as Jay Cutler establishes chemistry with his guys. All right. Before we move on to the Jets game, before we talk a little more about what happened in the Chargers game in terms of play balance and the, you know, beautiful split between there, we have three people on the line. We have a ton of questions on Twitter. We are not going to be able to get to all of them tonight. It's just the magnitude of all the questions. We could do a whole show just on questions alone. But let's bring in our first caller. He's been on hold for 32 minutes. Great, great, dedicated guy who is, or girl, who is dedicated to Finsider Radio. And I believe this is Christoph. If it is not, who are you? What is your name? And what do you want to talk about?
It's Kai.
Oh, Kai. I am so sorry to confuse you with Christoph. Kai, how are you doing tonight?
No worries. Pretty good, pretty good. Surviving after Hurricane Irma.
Yes, I'm glad you're safe.
Thank God.
Yeah, I wanted to know if you guys, if you were on the Dolphins team, if you could ever, not right now, obviously we don't know the situation, but if you could be able to trust having Lawrence Timmons there 24/7, or maybe not even 24/7, but just trust him in general to be there.
I'll take this one, Kai. And thank you for calling Finnsider Radio. Thank you again for holding as long as you did. We do appreciate you holding the phone up to your ear, or you're probably lying to us and had it on speaker and on your table as you're listening to us, and whoever else is in your house is probably just looking at you weird that you're listening to a Dolphins podcast on a Wednesday evening and you have nothing better to do with your life. But anyways, me personally, I'm a very forgiving person. We heard Hauk and Son talk about it earlier. I like to give second chances. We've seen so many people turn their lives around with second chances. Lawrence Timmons had 101 consecutive starts in Pittsburgh. This behavior is abnormal for him. It is not something that has ever been displayed in the past, as far as we know, unless Pittsburgh did a really good job of covering it up. But I do believe in second chances. For me, if I'm on a team, yeah, I'm pissed off at Lawrence Timmons, and it's going to take time to build trust back. But I would welcome him back, a cautious welcome back. But in the end, at the end of the day, yes, I do believe in second chances. All right, Kai, thank you for calling Finnsider Radio. We're going to bring the next guy on the phone. He's been on the line for 25 minutes. Could be a woman as well. Who are you? What is your name? And what would you like to talk about?
Definitely not a woman. Right call, right caller, wrong call.
Oh, okay, Christoph. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I want to start off by saying something first, and that is that I'm more suspect about our secondary than I am our linebacker core. When you look at the lineup, you have an undrafted free agent playing a handful of snaps. You got Hull in the lineup. You know, it just – they really didn't even get that much time to practice together. So I think ultimately with our defensive coordinator specializing with linebackers, that's going to work itself out. The secondary, however, I don't think so. But I do have a question. We recently traded for Stephon, I forget his last name, Anthony. But there were rumors that Kenny Vaccaro was benched amid trade talks. Do you think it's possible that the Dolphins started the call with Kenny Vaccaro and then settled on Stephon Anthony? And if so, do you think Kenny Vaccaro is a guy they could visit maybe later on?
You know what? It's possible. And something else that CK Parrott pointed out on Twitter was that Joe Vitt is the father-in-law of Adam Gase and has been a member of the Saints organization, specifically as in the coaching staff with both the defense and the linebackers. So he has familiarity there. Adam Gase has contact. I trust Adam Gase's read on this situation and the information that he has. I don't think Adam Gase, in other words, Adam Gase has access to the best information on the planet for this situation. So I think he's going to make the right choice there. Now, does Kenny Vaccaro get added to the mix later on down the road to see what happens? Does it happen now? Yeah, don't know. I didn't see enough out of the back end because they weren't challenged that much. The Chargers seemed to get us in the short intermediate route, so I didn't see enough in the long game to necessitate making a move for a safety at this point. But we might have to change our mind next week depending on what happens against the Jets. So it's always a fluid approach in the NFL season, but like I said, Adam Gase, the information he has, you got to trust that.
Let me also just make another point on Kenny Vaccaro, Christoph, and Sutton. Kenny Vaccaro was scheduled to make $5.67 million this season. He is a free agent after the year, so I believe his salary also has to do something with that as well. But listen, it's possible. We'll see. All right, let's bring in our last caller on the line, area code 209-817-4929. Who are you? What is your name? And what is your question for Houts?
It's Josh calling from California. Two questions. One, how do you guys think the pass rush affected the secondary's poor play? They only had like one sack. I know the run D was pretty good, but as far as getting after the quarterback, I felt like I was a little disappointed in that aspect. Part of that was Cameron Wake. And then the second part of that is offensively, Landry had like 13 or 14 catches. I was surprised at the end of the game to look at the stats and see that Parker only had four. I felt like he was making catches all over the place. So is it a concern that Landry had like half of the receiver core's catches? And do you think that that could be an issue moving forward?
Great questions, Josh. As far as the pass rush, that's definitely a concern. It's definitely played a huge role, I think, in that it opened things up for the Chargers offense. I mean, you saw that Phillip Rivers was getting the ball out in a timely fashion, and it was just making it hard for those defensive ends to get to the quarterback. As for Landry, I mean, it's kind of been his game. It's kind of what Adam Gase does. I mean, he tries to find a way to get Landry the football, whether it be in a reverse, put the ball in his hands and let him try to throw it, or short screen passes. Is it a concern to me? I don't think it is. I think Parker, I think it was 8 targets. 4 of those were for receptions. So, I mean, you see him in that single coverage. They try to throw him deep downfield and try to make big plays. So, I mean, yeah, it's a little bit alarming that you're giving a guy 13 targets, or it might even be more than that. I think it was 13 receptions. But you're giving him all those targets, and you're kind of singling him out. So, I mean, for me, I'd like to see him spread the ball a little more. I don't think Stills got nearly as many opportunities as he should have. And for me, Parker, I still think he's our number one receiver. I think I'd like to see him get a lot more opportunities. But I think that had a lot to do with the way the Chargers were game planning. So I don't think it's an issue. I guess we'll see more moving forward. But for me, as of now, I'm okay with it.
All right, Josh, thank you for calling into Finside Radio. I believe you are a first-time caller, maybe a second-time caller. Nonetheless, thank you very much. Have a great evening. We have one more caller on the line just called in just a few seconds ago. Area code 435. What is your name and what is your question for Sutton, our Finsider Radio Everything Guru?
This is Alpha.
Oh
Alpha,
my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
Alpha.
All right. Hold on. Stop the
podcast.
Stop the podcast. We have Alpha on the line. I have a mute button ready to go. Alpha, what's up, buddy? What do you got for us?
linebacker, Stephon, does he play this Sunday? If so, does he play middle linebacker or outside linebacker?
All right. Let me take this one because, actually, you're going to lead us into our next conversation. I'm going to play for you a clip from Adam.
Yeah, this has been going on for a while. So it just finally happened, and you know, we're excited that we had an opportunity to add somebody to our roster that we feel like can help us.
So Mr. Payton has stated that Stephon Anthony has explosiveness and speed, but that he needs to improve his mental game. In general, when you have a player who has outstanding athleticism but might be prone to mental errors, what are some ways that you and your coaches can help?
Well, you know, just it's hard because I, you know, for me personally, I haven't had a chance to meet him yet. So, I mean, we'll just kind of go through our process and determine where we feel he fits for us and the right way for us to coach him and teach him and, you know, kind of make our own assessment of, you know, how we want to use him. And, you know, it's hard for me to say anything right now when I really don't know because I haven't been around him.
All right. So, Alpha, you are still on the line. You're just on mute here. So, Kiko Alonso right now is playing the Will linebacker spot. Mike Hull is in the middle at the Mike linebacker spot. So, Stephon Anthony, he'd be playing the Sam linebacker. And this is also known as the strong side linebacker. And this is someone who is a versatile player, someone who can play both the run and the pass. We know Stephon Anthony doesn't really need some work with the pass coverage there. But the hope is that Lawrence Timmons comes back and takes over for that in the nickel situation. You know, Anthony is a great run stopper. He needs to provide strong run support and fill his gap on the run. Also required to drop in short zones in both cover 2 and cover 3 when the Dolphins do play that. Cam at times play man-to-man coverage on the tight end or the number two or three receiver, which can cause issues. But as Adam Gase said earlier this week, the Dolphins will come out in the nickel base formation much more times than not. You know, the alignment lines up on the strong side of the formation. There, the Sam will essentially split the space between the end man on the line of scrimmage and the inside slot receiver. So his assignments as the Sam linebacker to fill his assigned gap on the run, and really Stephon needs to be aware of where the play is going, which has been a knock on him in the past. And, you know, it's really, I think, a move to help shore up the run a little bit, to give Timmons a little break when he gets back, and to possibly, you know, give Hull a break as well if they can get Stephon's career back on track. So Alpha, thank you for calling. We are surprised by your phone call. We love that you called in, and we're glad that you did not make us beep out anything after the show or cause the FCC to call us tonight. So, Alpha, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
Alpha, one of our most loyal listeners for Finnsider Radio, one of our most loyal tweeters. Alpha is a good guy. Gets a little crazy there on Twitter and the live thread, but good guy. I'm glad he called in. All right.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's always good to hear from Alpha. Always.
Yeah. So, listen, we're up at the 10 o'clock hour. We've been on the air for 56 minutes. We still have a lot to talk about. So, here's what's going to happen with the Twitter questions. I'm sorry we cannot get to them tonight. We will, and I know Sutton posted a tweet earlier asking for questions. I'm going to go in that thread. Sutton's going to go in that thread. House is going to go in that thread. We're all going to quote tweet them and get it out there for all of our followers to see. And I'm telling YouTube what to do with your Twitter account. At me if you want to. Come at me. Yell at me. But I don't care. I will fire both your asses if you don't listen to me. All right. So I played that clip on Stephon Anthony. And we kind of talked about them there. The Dolphins are hoping he can play on Sunday. And that is a quick turnaround. I'm not really sure that this predated Lawrence Timmons' fiasco, even though Adam Gase said so. I think he's just trying to cover up things there because Stephon Anthony said he was blindsided in an article from Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald that released about 4 hours ago. Anthony said he was blindsided. I'm sorry, but if there's trade discussions going on for that long, I think you would probably get a hint of something that may be happening. So I don't fully believe that this has been going on for a while. I think it is directly related to Lawrence Timmons and that situation there. All right. One more thing from the Chargers game before we jump into the Jets week. And a lot of people have questions about why Adam Gase called a timeout at the end of the half. And we're not going to give analysis on it because what Adam Gase said in his press conference speaks for itself. Take a listen.
Well, we were trying to leave enough time to where if he made it, we could run another play. I mean, Phillip was stopping all those guys trying to run on the field, which everybody – yeah, but the – quarterback that's been doing it for about 15 years stopped him, was going to clock it with 2 seconds left. So that's what was going on there. So we tried to call with 12 seconds left, but, you know, we got 10. So he kicks it, makes it. At least we got a chance. Maybe start running around, throwing the ball around, see if you can get something going.
All right. There you have it from Adam Gase. The man himself makes complete sense. Made complete sense at the time. And I know some people got bent out of shape on that. All right, it is Jets week. The Jets are a outstanding 0-2. I am really upset because, Sutton, you're going to be at MetLife House. Are you going to MetLife as well?
Woo! I'm not. I got roped into working.
All right, so I feel a little better about my life now. Me with a 3-week old.
You should not. Neither one of you should feel good about yourself.
I will be at MetLife next year, or we can come out to you, Sutton. I have no problem coming back to Cleveland. That was one hell of a trip that I took. We still talk about it to this day. We were actually just talking about it, me and my cousin and his friend, our friend there, Mark. We were talking about it yesterday, how fun that trip was. And I keep saying it. Cleveland is highly, highly underrated in terms of a nightlife city and lots of stuff to do. It was awesome. All right. Sutton's going to MetLife. He's going to, beat up some people. I know Jake Mendel's going to MetLife. I believe Kathy D'Amato's going to MetLife. MetLife takeover from Dolphins NYC they sold over 1,000 tickets. So, they're going to be loud. But the Jets 0-2, they're not even a good team. but Adam Gase is not taking them lightly, as he should not. Here's what he had to say about the New York Jets.
Well, they got some new faces. You know, we're really, that's going to be the number one thing we got to kind of sort through of some of the guys that, you know, we haven't really played before. There are still a lot of familiar faces. And, you know, we're going to have to get ready for a veteran quarterback, veteran running back. Defensively, you know, they got pretty young in the back end this year, and you got two guys that can really roam around and run, you know, at the safety positions. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us, especially, you know, with Coach Bowles, is he stops the run, and, you know, that's one of the things that we really like to hang our hat on, and he does a good job of stopping him, and he did a good job against us last year. And I know statistically it looked good on paper, but you know, the first game we played against them, that was not easy sledding, and we popped two runs right at the end of the game that kind of made it look like we had a better day than what we did. You know, when we play these guys, it's a physical game. It's a division game. You know, it's one of those games. This is a tough game. This is one of those ones where you throw everything out the window, because it's going to be a slugfest.
Yep, so Adam Gase not taking them lightly. Here's the breakdown from Pro Football Focus. When the Jets come out in a two tight end set, here is what they're looking like. Ndamukong Suh should absolutely eat up the offensive line for the Jets. Their center, Wesley Johnson, a grade so far 45.5 out of 100. Brian Winters, the right guard, a 50 grade. Brandon Schell, the right tackle, a grade of 48.3. Their left guard, James Carpenter, an average grade of 75.3. Their left tackle, Calvin Beecham, a grade of 69.4. One of their tight ends, Will Tye, a whopping grade of 37.8. However, on the other side, Neil Sterling, an average grade of 73.7. Roby Anderson, a rookie wide receiver, 43.9. Josh McCown, their quarterback, grade of 56.4. Matt Forte, 50.4. The guy that should eat for the Jets, though, is Jermaine Kearson, grade of 74.9. He is the most targeted guy on the Jets. Of course, their number one target. He should have a nice day, especially if you're in a PPR fantasy league. I know I'm starting him. I hate starting guys the Dolphins are playing. But listen, at the end of the day, besides the way I sit on the sofa and where I sit on the sofa, I don't control much of the other parts of the game. So, you know, Jermaine Kearse, a guy who has a grade of 74.9 going against the guy. Xavier Howard has a grade of 43.0. Yeah, that will be interesting to see. Now, when the Jets come out in their three wide receiver set, you throw in Jeremy Curley there. He has a grade of 70.6 going up against Bobby McCain, who has a grade of 78.5. So you're not bad there, and that's going to be an even matchup as well. Roby versus Maxwell, that's pretty much an even matchup. It's the curse that you got to take away. I expect the Dolphins to double-team curse there and see what they can do. So for you guys in your research leading up to the game here and what I just said in terms of, you know, how these guys are stacking up with the Jets' offense, are you concerned about the Jets' offense at all? Helps, we'll start with you, then we'll go to Sutton.
I think you touched on it with Jermaine Kearse. I mean, he's been a playmaker ever since he joined the Jets. I know Josh McCown's not the best quarterback, but I like what Jermaine Kearse can do. And against his secondary, I mean, that could cause problems. I do look to see him have a big day. I just picked him up in the fantasy league myself. So, I mean, that's probably my biggest threat. And, I mean, this has trap game written all over it. I mean, the Jets are not very good. They're a pretty shitty team. And the Dolphins, on paper, should handle them pretty easy, but we know how these rivalry games go. And, I mean, I'm going to be a little hesitant to see how things play out, because the Jets, they're not good, but this is a game that they're going to go out there guns a-blazing. And although they shouldn't beat the Dolphins or have any chance in hell, it could get dicey. So that's my prediction.
And your thoughts on the Jets offense,
Sai? We don't do this very often here on Finnside Radio, but I'll disagree with Houts that this is a trap game, because I don't think trap games exist for Adam Gase. I think he has established a week-to-week mentality with the team, and I don't think he would allow his players to overlook anyone for any reason, any week, for any circumstance or any situation. We've already faced a hurricane and injuries and the loss of our starting quarterback, and we came out and won a nail-biter the very first game of the season under crazy circumstances. So I think we'll be focused. I don't think we're going to take the Jets lightly, because you guys said it's a division game. You guys, you know, we don't take division opponents lightly. My key to victory is being able to shut down the Jets' run. They were able to get about 125 yards against the Oakland Raiders, 5 yards a clip with each run. So we need to be able to shut down the run like we did against San Diego. Or, I mean, Los Angeles. Damn it, I didn't think I was going to do that, but I did. But the Jets' passing offense has just been so inconsistent so far this year. Interceptions, getting sacked. McCown got sacked four times last week against the Oakland Raiders. Had a forced fumble there against McCown. So if we can make them one-dimensional like we were able to against the Los Angeles Chargers, then we're going to be in excellent shape. But we've got to shut the run down like we did against the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about the run. Bilal Powell on the outs there, it looks like. Reduced snaps, loads. Matt Forte seems like the lead back, but he's kind of out of gas there. I'm with you, Sutton. I don't think this is going to be a trap game for the Dolphins, but it is a division game. We've seen the Dolphins, when they're at their worst, beat the Patriots, so we'll have to see how it shakes out. Let's jump over to the offense now for the Miami Dolphins. Laremy Tunsil grading out at 44.9. Rough game for Tunsil. I wish we could talk more about Tunsil, but listen, we're only on the air for a short time. We can't have a 3-4 hour radio show. We don't get paid enough to do that. Anthony Steen graded out at 51.8. The left guard, Mike Pouncey, graded out at 61.9. Jermon Bushrod grading out at 42.7. Jawan James grading out at 83.3. Now you look at the defensive line for the New York Jets, and they run a 3-4 when they're in their base defense. Muhammad Wilkerson with a grade of 69.8 compared to Steen and Tunsil at 44.9 and 51.8. Steve McClendon, the defensive tackle, grading out at 47.2. Mike Pouncey should have no problem with him. Leonard Williams grading out at 67.7. Jawan James should have no problem with him. You look at their linebacker crew, Jordan Jenkins grading out at 75.4 in their base defense. Again, this is a 3-4 defense. Josh Martin grading out at 43.7. Darren Lee grading out at a ridiculously low 35.7. Demario Davis grading out another low 33.8. The funny thing about Lee, I know a lot of Dolphins fans, including myself, wanted him when he was available this past offseason. But, yeah, it looks like he is not doing too well. Marcus May as the safety, 55.3 grade. Jamal Adams, who I loved coming out of LSU, one of my top players in the draft, grading out at 79.8. Should be some deeply contested balls when Cutler throws it deep. Morris Claiborne, the cornerback, grading out at 45.9. Buster Skrine grading out at 45.5. Devontae Parker going across from Claiborne. Devontae Parker at 73.5. Jarvis Landry across from Skrine grading out at 76.1. Julius Thomas would be on the linebacker, 50.5. Anthony Fasano grading out at 57.3. Jay Cutler, 76.5. Jay Ajayi, 82.1. I expect the Dolphins offense to absolutely feast on the New York Jets. When the Jets are in their nickel formation, they move to a 4-3. Coney Ealy grading out at 79.3. You got the two linebackers on the field. You got Darren Lee on the field along with Demario Davis. And I said they were both in their mid-30s there. Jordan Jenkins, he goes from the linebacker slot to the defensive line and grading out at 75.4 there, as I said. When they do go into the nickel formation, Skrine moves into the slot. They bring in Justin Burris to the left cornerback position, grading out at 38.8. I mean, you look at those grades, you two, right? And I know I just read off all of them, and that's a lot to take in. But just hearing those grades and then looking at across the line of scrimmage there, I don't see how the Jets are going to stop this Miami Dolphins offense. Sutton, your thoughts?
It seems very unlikely, and man, we were all there together last year. Man, you're gonna make me cry. We were all there last year when we beat their ass, and I really wanted to be there again this year, and you guys had to go and have kids, and, you know, I kind of understand, but, you know, no, this offense, it looked like I don't know what to make of the first week's game plan just because it was very run dominant. We know we can't run Jay Ajayi 28 times every week. So the play distribution is going to have to naturally gravitate a little bit towards passing the ball just a little bit more. And I really do like the roughly 50-50 play calling that we had. It's about as 50-50 as modern play calling is going to get. So that was kind of impressive to me that first week that we were able to establish that kind of balance. But Jay Cutler is going to have to make some more plays going forward. And like we had mentioned earlier with the play-action passing game, one thing that we forgot to mention was that outside zone. The reason that run is so important, establishing play-action, is because the length of time that it takes to hand the ball off for that kind of run. So it freezes the linebackers, it freezes the secondary that much longer when you go to play action, and it develops those things down the field a little bit more. And I would like to see that going into this Sunday, is being able to get Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, get them involved down the field with some of this play action and piggyback on the success that Ajayi had that first week, because we know we can't just run him into the ground early in the season, or we're not going to have a very good long-term trajectory. So let's open it up a little bit going into this week, going into against a weak secondary. They have 1 week. The offense has 1 week under their belt to get a little rust off, and it's time to take the training wheels off and see what we got in the passing offense.
House, your thoughts on the Jets offense or the Jets defense versus the Miami Dolphins offense?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys were big wrestling fans growing up, but every time Vince McMahon's music hit, it would always say, "No chance, no chance in hell."
Yeah,
and that's kind of what I see as the Jets defense. I mean, it doesn't seem like they stand a chance. I know you both gave me shit for trying to take the political view and say this could be a trap game, but let's be honest. The Dolphins should go out there and beat the hell out of the Jets. Stunt said about taking the training wheels off. Well, the Dolphins got to train, and I think Jay Ajayi could have a 200-yard game. I think Devontae Parker's going to feast. I think Jarvis Landry's going to feast. And I think the Dolphins just go out there and lay the wood on the Jets because it appears that they don't stand a chance. I mean, you ran off those PFF grades. They are just what they are, but, I mean, from a talent standpoint, the Dolphins just seem like the superior team, superior coach team, and I expect them to go out there and just lay an ass-whooping down on the Jets.
All right, time for predictions, boys. I'm going to start first. I'm going to go Dolphins 34, Jets 14. Sutton, how about you?
Oh, wow, 34-14.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go 27 to – I'll go 27-14.
All right, how about you?
See, I had a number in my head. It was 27-13, but I don't want to be that. Well, I'm going to be that guy. 27-13. That's what I was thinking all along.
I mean, that's how close we were last week. With those little nuances actually mean something. So watch it.
Yeah.
It'll be like 57-0 this week, and we'll be completely
winning,
off.
With the Jets winning, right? With the Jets winning. Oh, man.
Don't even say that.
Go to MetLife and we lose 7-0 to the Jets, oh, my God. Yeah.
You would jump.
Like reach out to me. I will need serious help. I will need serious psychiatric help.
Yep. Yeah, I don't see any way that happens. Yeah. All right. So anything else that you guys want to cover here that we may have not covered in the past hour and 15 minutes?
F the Jets.
Yep, absolutely. It is Jets week, and
Jets suck. There was one thing, little thing that popped up. On the offensive line, I noticed that Anthony Steen played 46 snaps and Jesse Davis played 22. Was that because Anthony Steen suffered an in-game injury, or was that by design that there was some kind of rotation going on there?
It was a design. There were no injuries reported to the press box for the Dolphins throughout the game. So That seems to be by design.
Hopefully Jesse Davis can kind of develop into the long-term solution there. But we'll see.
Yes, we will see.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Jawan James. Jawan James played out of his mind, I thought.
Good call, Hal.
He had
one hell of a game.
He
deserves props.
He had one hell of a game. And going forward, we'll try to cover as many players as possible. What's really going to guide our show throughout the season is the press conferences from Gates and the coordinators, if we are able to get a hold of them. So that's going to guide our shows throughout the season. Gives you a good insight into what Gates is thinking, and we just kind of go off that as well. All right, so that's going to be it. Enjoy the game on Sunday, Sutton. Enjoy MetLife. Enjoy talking trash to the Jets fans. And, of course, enjoy booing the hell out of them when they're leaving the stadium after the second quarter because their team is losing that bad. All right, so.
Go ahead. People, tweet me. People, tweet me before you go to MetLife. Let's meet up.
All right, Sutton wants to meet up. Don't do any crazy stuff with Sutton.
Send me tweets.
Yeah, all right, Sutton can get a little wild at times, but enjoy it.
Yeah,
enjoy everyone who's going. It's going to be one hell of a game. All right, for Sutton, the creepy soccer dad, for House MD, House Stradamus, and every other nickname he has in the book, I am MC Money. Thank you for joining us this week on Finsider Radio. We'll talk to you next time.